So here we are. It's a Sunday, and you made it. And thank you so much for coming and giving a day of your time and your energy to explore this practice. It's actually quite moving to think of how we do that. We step out of the stream of doing and accomplishing and ticking things off our lists. And we take some time to be quiet. It's really quite remarkable in a culture that doesn't really support this. So, you're just in time. So, the format of the day is going to include some sitting, some walking. And the sitting periods are actually quite short. And I deliberately chose to make them only a half hour in length. And with the idea that we will try to maintain our awareness, our mindfulness, in the transitions. As we move from sitting to walking, as we go in and out, as we take off our shoes, as we prepare our lunches, as we come back and sit down, so that the day becomes this exploration of how to apply mindfulness in our own lives. Because we really have tremendous, tremendous potential to bring awareness into everything we do. And yes, we're taking this time to have a period of formal practice, but this is really planting seeds and almost like a muscle memory. Oh, I could do this when I'm walking down the hallway at work. Or I could make a commitment and a resolve to be mindful when I go upstairs or when I prepare tea in the morning. And those moments of dedicated mindfulness become resting places, places where the mind just rests in being, where we enter the moment of our lives. And this is quite poignant because, as you know, time goes by in a flash. Children grow up, parents age, friends fall ill. So many things happen, and we sort of wake up sometimes out of a daze and think, what happened to my life? You know, where did it go? My nephews and my niece grew up while I was living in the United States. And I regret terribly that I didn't see them more when they were young. But now, I have an opportunity to know them in their 20s. So I'm saying this because truly, this practice is a gift we give ourselves and a gift we give the world. So I'm very grateful to have the opportunity to introduce this practice and give you some guidance today, but of course, you must be the light in your own lives. So, one way to begin is to think about why meditate? Why take the time right now and on a daily basis to be still, to be quiet, to notice our experience? And each of us will have our own reasons. For myself, I think of the words of one of the early Buddhist nuns. She says, "To know myself completely, no part left out." To know myself completely. You know, this is quite a powerful idea. I mean, we have friends who know us well and loved ones, family members, but who knows us better? All the ways, all the strategies, all the different devices we use to get through the day, to get through the week. So to know ourselves and accept ourselves and love ourselves completely, this is a powerful reason to come to practice. And I think about how, in the light of awareness, in the warm light of awareness, there's a possibility of letting go of habits of mind and body and speech that don't serve me. That there's an untangling that takes place when I simply rest in my experience. Perhaps also to uncover my heart's full potential to love and to be of service in the world. And we, all of us, in the ways that we are friends, parents, co-workers, community members, every day we perform great service. And this practice nourishes us. It fills the well of our capacity to be of service. And another reason for me is, and I've used this expression many times, but I think it's a good one, to accompany myself, to be a good companion to myself on this journey through life, and to be a good companion to others. And we all know the gift of presence when a friend is truly there for us with a wholeheartedness that allows us to relax, to open, to share who we are. And then perhaps this is one of the more universal reasons that we come to practice, and that is to be at ease with the full range of our experience, no matter the changing circumstances. I teach grade 3, and one of the things I hope to transmit to these 8-year-olds and 9-year-olds this year is a sense of their own resilience. You know, one little girl will come up to me several times during the week, and she'll say, "Madame, je suis triste. I'm sad." And I'll say, "Well, Sarah, pourquoi? Pourquoi t'es triste?" "Je ne sais pas." And then, you know, a bit later in the day, "Je suis encore triste." And I say, "You'll be okay. You'll be okay." So if I could help Sarah and the other children to meet disappointment, to meet sudden loss, to meet the difficulty of a friend turning away, of being left out, then I hope I will have accomplished something besides the times tables, which are also important. And so, you know, traditionally, we also speak of practice as having a certain destination, which is to fully liberate the mind. To fully liberate the mind and heart from the forces conditioned through centuries, through lifetimes, through decades of greed, hatred, and delusion. And to be happy. So we come to practice for many reasons. And I think knowing why we come to practice helps us dedicate ourselves with sincerity and commitment to a day of silence, which isn't easy. You know, it's not easy. It's doable, though, and we support each other, as Laurie said, by keeping noble silence. And, you know, that doesn't mean avoiding any kind of contact. Perhaps you will be going out the door at the same time as someone else and hold the door and just bow, or stand aside and let someone put on their shoes first, or, you know, hand someone, you know, the salt. I doubt if there's salt upstairs, but you never know. so. But I think perhaps we all come to practice because of our own encounter with the first noble truth, and that is the truth of suffering. Inescapable, really. By virtue of taking birth in a human body, we will encounter aging, illness, death, separation from what is dear and beloved, association with what is not dear and not beloved. Suffering is present, even in the West here, where we have fairly comfortable, stable lives. We certainly don't know the suffering of a girl trying to go to school in Afghanistan, or a villager in Pakistan in a flood or an earthquake, or discrimination and racism in Mississippi. We have different kinds of suffering, but it doesn't mean it's any less real. So why we come to practice is really to be in relationship to the suffering in our lives in a skillful way. So I think about children and children's experience quite a bit because I work with children. And I think how all of us in childhood and throughout our lives have had moments of connection with the mystery and the beauty of being. I think when we come to meditation and mindfulness, we have this body memory of the sound of a stream or the way we were fascinated by the rivulets of the tide coming in over the sand, or the way we observed the clouds moving across the sky. I think we reconnect with that sense of wonder and appreciation, which deeply nourishes our being and our practice. And in a day of silence like this, we can rediscover how the senses are a tremendous source of delight and wonder, each of the sense doors. And I think of one of my teachers, Michelle McDonald. Perhaps some of you know her. And when I was a cook at the retreat center in Massachusetts, and Michelle would come to teach there, I always noticed how she walked around barefoot. The floors were not heated. This New England winters, the floors were quite cold. But I asked her once why she walked barefoot. And she said it was a way for her to stay connected in her body and to be reminded with each footfall of sensation, to be present. And I think we discover those ways ourselves to be present in our experience. So this practice is about coming home. And really, I think that is a wonderful image and one that really works for me, because with my first weekend retreat at the School of Theology at UBC in Vancouver, I had that experience of a morning after the morning of practice, stepping out, seeing the clouds in motion and the mountains and the water, and feeling like I had discovered a way to come home to the simplicity of being in the fullness of my own experience without this reaching for something else or regretting something that had happened. Just resting in the fullness of seeing, of hearing, of sensing, of being. So today I will be giving instruction in what are called the four foundations or the four establishments of mindfulness. Mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of feelings, mindfulness of mental states, and mindfulness of phenomena and the ways in which we respond to phenomena. So you could say that this is essentially the Buddha's field guide to the practice of being aware. And so, combined with the five precepts of ethical living, these constitute the path of practice. So the teaching summed up is do no harm, do good, and cultivate the mind. It's quite simple, really. And when the Dalai Lama says, "My religion is kindness," that's what he means. Do no harm, do good, and cultivate the mind. So mindfulness is an invitation to turn our attention towards our own experience. You know, as beings endowed with sense perception, we really are bombarded all day long with, you know, the sights and sounds and information of the world. And it can be very agitating. In fact, as a teacher in a classroom with, you know, 21 children, there are times when I have to say, "Il y a trop de bruit." There's too much noise. And when we have our moments of silent reading or some math test or dictée, all of us, I know, appreciate that we're delimiting our attention. We're focusing on one thing. So that's what we're doing today. We're bringing our attention specifically to certain aspects of our experience. And in doing so, we're training the mind. Training the mind to fully attend. So let's begin. Let's begin and find your sitting posture. Make sure you're comfortable. If you need to stand for a moment and just stretch a little bit, please do. And always remember that this practice, there's nothing sacred about the sitting posture. At any moment, if you feeling sleepy, you can stand up, take a stable position, find the four corners of your feet, let your tailbone drop, and just stand, do some standing meditation. So this is an Inuit song, which I think is a lovely way to begin the day. And I thought over again my small adventures, as with a shore wind, I drifted out in my kayak and thought I was in danger. My fears, those small ones that I thought so big, for all the vital things I had to get and to reach. And yet, there is only one great thing, the only thing, to live, to see in huts and on journeys, the great day that dawns and the light that fills the world. Annie Dillard writes, "Every day is a god. Each day is a god, and holiness holds forth in time. I worship each god. I praise each day splintered down and wrapped in time like a husk of many colors, spreading at dawn fast over the mountains, split. So let us find the sitting posture in which our bodies feel at ease and yet upright and alert. So this may mean that your back is supported by the chair, or you may wish to sit forward so that you're unsupported. So sitting in your sitting posture and bringing this sense of your own friendship to your experience. Friendship, interest, even delight. Notice where your body is in contact with the surroundings, where the chair and the sitting bones meet, or the cushion and the sitting bones, or the bench. Notice where your hands are resting. You may feel the weight, the pressure, slight warmth. So amid all the different sense perceptions that occur simultaneously, we are delimiting our attention and focusing on sensations in the body, exploring this first foundation, this first establishment of mindfulness, letting the body be our object of meditation. Sitting bones, hands, you may also notice where your lips are lightly touching. You may notice where your feet are touching the floor, or whatever is underneath your feet. So we could stay noticing all the different sensations in the body, fluctuations of energy, coolness, warmth, tingling. But now we move connecting with the breath. The breath is chosen as an object of meditation because for most of us, it is a fairly neutral object, one that is with us, and yet also experiencing subtle changes in the breath helps us to know that nothing is unchanging, nothing is solid. Permanent or fixed. So connect with the movement of the breath wherever you feel it most distinctly. Maybe the rise and fall of the abdomen. It may be the in and out of the breath at the nostrils. Or it could be a more global sense of the whole body breathing. So we experiment with noticing the fullness of the in-breath, the relaxation of the out-breath, not changing our breathing in any way, but just attending, noticing. Perhaps a slight sensation of coolness at the tip of the nostrils with the in-breath. Slight sensation of warmth with the out-breath. Or a feeling of expansion with the rising of the abdomen. Contraction with the falling. Again and again, we guide our attention to rest on these subtle sensations, knowing our experience directly. seeing if it's possible to remain attentive through one entire cycle of in-breath and out-breath. Gently, consistently returning to the breath each time a thought engages us and pulls us into some story of future or past. Just coming back and noticing in this way, moment by moment, we build some concentration. The mind becomes settled and calm. And it is here that we access the liberating insights that are available to all of us. Notice how your awareness may be called to different sounds arising in the room. You can go to sounds, notice hearing, and then come back, letting the breath be in the foreground and sounds be in the background. Remembering there is no other moment except this moment. Can I be present? Training myself to attend to my experience of the breath. It can be helpful at times to make a very light mental note with the rising movement, noting rising, with a falling movement, falling. With the in-breath, noticing in. With the out-breath, out. Just like a whisper in the mind, helping us to synchronize our attention with what is actually happening. In the last few minutes of our practice together, this practice period, we can build on the momentum and recommit ourselves sounds coming and going, sensations in the body, and the movement of the breath in the foreground of our awareness. So when you hear the sound of the bell, see if you can be attentive to sensations in the body, to that moment of wanting to release, let go of being mindful. See if it's possible to maintain mindfulness, opening the eyes, stretching.